Amen. Praise God. 1 Kings chapter 18. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 18. God has already been in the theme of this service. God has already been speaking to us along the lines of what I'm going to minister tonight. But we need to have a holy dissatisfaction. Everybody say a holy dissatisfaction. A holy dissatisfaction where we say, God, I'm not happy where I am, but God, I want more of you. I want to go deeper in my walk with you. God, I don't want to just know about you, but I want to know you more. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 37. The slides will be on the screen. Hear me, O God, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God. This is Elijah. And that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell as Elijah standing at that altar. The fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust. And the fire licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is the God." When the fire from God fell on that sacrifice, everybody, nobody could deny as they fell on their face, they said, "The Lord, He is God." They found out who the one true living God is right there as Elijah called fire down from heaven. And Elijah said unto Ahab, verse 41, "Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of an abundance of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to Mount Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, "Go up now and look towards the sea." And he went up and he looked and he said, there's nothing. Elijah said, "I can hear the sound of an abundance of rain." He sent his servant, he said, "Go look over the ocean and see if the rain's coming yet." And he went up and he looked, he said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go again seven times." And it came to pass at the seventh time, everybody say the seventh time, that he said, "Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand." And he said, "Go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down that the rain stop thee not." The rain's coming. You ought to get your chariot and get out of here before you're going to get bogged, because the rain is coming. What did he see? Just a little cloud the size of a man's hand. And it came to pass that meanwhile, the heaven was black with clouds and wind. And let's read those last five words together. And there was a great rain. Everyone say rain. Psalm chapter 85 verse 6 says this, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Let's read that together. Verse 6, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" I want to be upfront where this message is going tonight, that every single one of us need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit in our lives. A fresh touch, fresh rain, a fresh experience with God. See, there should be no time we come to church and be satisfied just to go through the motions, but we need a fresh touch of God. So I've taken a very strange title tonight, but I want to preach on this title. Revelation without rain is futile. Revelation without rain is futile. And let's believe that God's going to speak to us tonight and is going to do a work in this place. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to speak to us through your word. Help our hearts to be receptive. Help our ears to be open to what you're going to say to the church tonight as a corporate body and to us as individuals. Lord Jesus, we need you to speak to us tonight, oh God. Lord God, refresh our hearts, oh God. Help us not to be satisfied with just a mediocre walk with you, God, but we want more of you. And so, Lord, we turn our eyes to heaven, O God, from whence cometh our help. And God, we say, Lord, we need more of you and less of us. Lord, we don't just want to be satisfied with revelation, God, but we want the rain of your Holy Spirit. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, revelation without rain is futile. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Amen. Revelation without rain is futile. That word futile, and I saw Brother James say to Brother Matthew, what does futile mean? That means revelation without rain is not enough. It's not going to satisfy. And so we read an interesting text, and we picked up the text halfway through the story when Moses was standing by the altar of sacrifice. And Israel at this time, you need to follow me tonight, Israel and the rest of the Middle East, and they had depended on seasonal rainfall. And there came a time when Israel had disobeyed God, and God had shut the heavens, and there was no rain. How many people have experienced a drought? Yeah? How many people here? Most people here experienced a 7-year drought. That's quite a drought, but we've had some worse droughts in Australia's history. And so Israel experienced a drought because they disobeyed God, and God shut the heavens up. Everything because of the drought. You know, you just think that a little, you know, without just a little bit of rain, when the rain stops, everything else stops growing. There's no food. We don't understand probably the importance of rain. And so the Bible tells us that they had no rain for 3.5 years. No rain. It wasn't that the rain was less than the seasonal average. It was not less than the annual average. No, they had no rain. God had shut the heavens up, and there was no rain for 3.5 years. The scripture goes further to say that there was not even any dew. It was a dryness in the land of Israel because they disobeyed God. There was a drought. And you see, under the reign of King Ahab and his wife Jezebel, everybody say Jezebel, Israel had fallen into a state of being backslidden. They had slidden away from God, and they had fallen prey. Throw that next slide up. They had fallen prey to idolatry and unrighteousness, which had ultimately, because of their idolatry and disobedience and unrighteousness, it had brought the judgment of God upon them and their land. And so there was no rain for 3.5 years. They needed, as Sister Bethany chose that song tonight, they needed a breakthrough. They needed a breakthrough. It was the drought that they were experiencing was because of their own disobedience, because of their own fact that they had backslidden and become lukewarm in God, but they needed a breakthrough, and they needed some rain. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1, turn there in your Bibles. Turn there in your Bibles, 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 1. And it says, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord, everybody say the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Elijah saying, go show thyself unto Ahab. Now Elijah is the man of God, and Ahab is the king and his wife Jezebel that has led the nation into this wickedness. And God tells Elijah, he says, I want you to go and stand before Ahab, that wicked king. And he said, go show yourself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. We read later on that Ahab, that Elijah did exactly as God had requested. He went and stood before that wicked king Ahab. I want to highlight to you tonight that God spoke, Elijah heard, he listened and he obeyed. I could preach right there. I could preach from that scripture right there, that God spoke, Elijah heard, and he obeyed. Let me tell you, if you want a breakthrough, you've got to listen to what God says and you've got to do what God says. Don't be like that person that looks in the mirror and beholds himself and walks away and forgets what manner of person they are. But we are to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. And so Elijah goes and stands before that wicked king Ahab. And the word of God is the change agent. It was a word from God that ultimately brought the change about for the nation of Israel. I want to tell you that it's important that we obey the word of God. It's important that we step out and we obey the word of God. We read in our Bibles about those fishermen that were fishing, and Jesus walked up to the shore, and they were cleaning their nets. They were taking out all the rubbish out of the nets and the leaves and the little fish and the little bits of coral. They were tying the knots back up, and they're sitting there after a long day's fishing. And they said, Jesus said, I want you to go out. I want you to cast your net on the other side. And the Bible says that they went out. They said, nevertheless, they said, we've been toiling all night and we've caught nothing. Jesus, we tried this. We fished and fished. We tried everything we possibly could. And Jesus said, I want you to go and I want you to try in the same place where you were just trying, but on the other side. And the Bible says that they responded. They said, nevertheless, at thy word. You don't understand the power of that. You know, there's some times when we don't understand what God's trying to do. We don't understand what God's trying to say. We don't understand where God's trying to lead us. But we've got to have an attitude that says, nevertheless, God, at your word. There's going to be times when you're sitting in the house of God and God is speaking a rhema word to you, a timely word. It doesn't always make sense. It doesn't always add up to your logic. It's not always what your understanding is. But you have an attitude or a disposition that says, oh God, nevertheless, I don't understand everything, but at your word, I'm going to throw those nets over the other side. The word of God is powerful, and it was the word of God that came to Elijah that was the change agent for the nation of Israel. And the same is with us tonight. This is not just some mere ritual where we go through and we learn a little bit about the Bible, but I believe that when the word of God is preached, it's able to pierce our hearts. It's able to change our lives. It's able to set us back on the right course because the word of God is powerful. Don't underestimate the power of God's word. And so God speaks to Elijah. Elijah goes and does what he says, and what God says, and then God begins to move. And so God tells Elijah, he says, I want you to have a confrontation. The man of God against that wicked king. God says, I want you to go and stand up to him. I want you to go and meet the nation's problem head on. I don't know what that would be like these days. I guess it would be like a preacher called to go into Parliament. That's probably about the most wicked place. And just stand there and for a confrontation. Probably in front of the Greens, I think. They're all pretty bad. But to go and have a confrontation against all the evil in the world. And so God tells him, he said, I want you to meet the problem head on. And in the process, God inspires Elijah to have Ahab call all of Israel. He goes, I want you to bring all of Israel together. And then Elijah asks some very profound questions. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, and Elijah came after Ahab had called all the people together and said, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? And I ask you today, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? How long are you going to stand in that position of not making up your mind? If the Lord be God, then follow him. But if you want to serve Baal, then go and follow him. And the people answered him not a word. You see, there's power in making up our mind. If you're going to serve God, then serve him with all your heart. But if not, go and serve Baal. Because there is no middle ground with God. There is no neutral ground. In fact, it is lukewarmness that God hates. It's what makes God sick. It's that lukewarmness. And Elijah stands before all the people as they're congregated. And he says, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? So what was causing the problem is that they were trying to serve two masters. What causes us so many problems and the biggest headache of every pastor in every church is just trying to help people make up their mind that they want to serve God. The biggest problem and the biggest job as a pastor is just kind of trying to get people to live for God and not just be satisfied just sitting in the middle or sitting on the fence. I want to tell you the recipe for a spiritual drought. It's double-mindedness. A double-minded man is unstable in his all his ways. I want to tell you the recipe for a spiritual drought in your life. It's compromise. When you compromise and you think you can serve God and serve the world at the same time. I've come to remind you tonight of the words of Paul when he said, "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing and I will receive you." How long will you halt between two opinions? 1 John 2:15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." The Bible goes on further to say, you cannot serve God and mammon. And this is why there was a drought, because Israel was stuck. They were between two opinions. And if you're spiritually dry tonight, it's time to make up your mind and say, "God, I want to serve you with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my might. I want to give it all to you, God. I don't want to be in a state of drought anymore, oh God. I need your rain in my heart." And so there we have Elijah, one man at God standing there at that altar. One man against 850. Everyone say 850. 850 false prophets. The man of God challenges 850 false prophets. You've got to be a man of faith to do that. Elijah had his problems. Elijah went through depression. You wouldn't think that this would be the sort of guy that would be standing before 850 prophets, challenging them. Before the duel started between Elijah and the 850 prophets, Elijah, who's only one, he says, "I'm going to set the ground rules here. I'm not going to let 850 others, false prophets, set the ground rules." And he sets the ground rules. He says, "Let the God that answers by fire, let him be God." There they are. They had crowds. Everybody say they had crowds. But Elijah had truth. Elijah knew who his God was. And you know, young people, you go into your schools and they've got crowds. You know, look at all the, up in Sydney, they had their big festival. Yeah, they had crowds. But one man who knows his God is able to challenge 850 and the power of God will fall. And so one man with truth is greater than any crowd that is in error. And Elijah said, okay, let the God that answers by fire. They set up that altar and Elijah said, "No, we put the sacrifice there. I don't want you to put any wood. Put no fire on. I don't want you to burn it." He goes, "You put the wood there, you put the bullock there, you put the stones there, you put the sacrifice there, but don't you put any fire on that, because that's God's part. That's God's part." And so Elijah took the bullock and he took the wood and he took the stones, he put the sacrifice there, and they begin to call on their gods. There are the 850 prophets. I don't know what they're doing, enchantments and all this sort of stuff, trying to call fire down from heaven. And Elijah calls out to God and the fire comes down and boof, consumes the offering. You see, sometimes we've got to step out in faith. Yes, they had to take the stones. Yes, they had to take the wood. Yes, they had to put the sacrifice. When you've done all that you can, then God can do what he can do. And so faith requires us to step out, to do our part. And when you've done all that you can do, God says, "Now you've done all that you can do. Now it's time for me to step in and to provide the fire." And so Elijah standing there in front of 850 false prophets, the sacrifice is ready to go, the wood and the stones are there, and they're all there ready to make their enchantments. And Elijah says, "Okay, I got something else." He takes a couple of big buckets of water and he starts to throw water all over the sacrifice. And 850 prophets are thinking, "You know what? I think this guy's just made it even harder for the fire, because now everything's wet." But Elijah knew that his God is able to work in a disadvantaged situation. My God is able to work the impossible. Elijah knew who his God was. And so there they are. And fire comes down from heaven, consumes the sacrifice. And everybody says, "Ho, the Lord, he is God." They got, listen to me carefully, they got a revelation. Everybody say a revelation. They got a revelation of who God is. They got a revelation. And so Here we are. As Elijah, should imagine the situation. Elijah's done everything that he can. And God says, I'll let you go so far. After you've done everything you can, Elijah, you won't be out, you're still not going to be able to reach it. Everything you do, Elijah, is not going to call fire down from heaven. I am going to provide the fire. And there's somebody here tonight, you're thinking to yourself, you're thinking, I cannot reach it. I cannot touch it. I just can't seem to be able to do this. I can't seem to be able to make it. And let me tell you, that feeling is there by divine design. Because if you could make it on your own, you wouldn't need God. That feeling like, oh God, I've done everything I can in my own strength. Let me tell you, His strength is made perfect in our weakness. And when you hit that time and you think, God, I've prayed every prayer I can pray. God, I've been faithful. Let me tell you, when you feel like you're falling short, it's there by divine design. Because that's when God shows up and He pours out the fire on your offering. Everybody say, my offering. You've got to have an offering if you want the fire. And so God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or even think, according to the power that worketh in us. God answered by fire. They got revelation. Everybody say revelation. They knew who God was. They said, the Lord, He is God. What an amazing experience. Some of us would have been happy just to see fire fall from heaven and just to see the look on 850 false prophets' faces as they realized who the one true living God was. But I've come to tell you tonight that just knowing who God is and just even knowing that there is only one God and His name is Jesus, that even having a revelation of the oneness of God and having a revelation alone is not enough. It's not enough to just know who God is. It's not enough to just know what God does. It's not enough to just know that God is all powerful, because that God answered by fire, but the fire was not the breakthrough that they needed. The fire was not the breakthrough that they needed. Yes, it would have left those 850 false prophets with red faces. Yes, Elijah would have seen the power of God and felt the presence of God and all of those things. What was Israel's need? Does anybody know? They needed rain. You see, revelation without rain is futile. We can come to church and we can get revelation after revelation after revelation, and our hearts can still be in drought. Our lives can still be dry. You can go to Bible college and you can learn all the scriptures. You can learn them backwards. You can learn the books of the Bible. You can learn everything about God. You can know everything about God. But revelation without rain is futile. And so God answered by fire, but the fire was not the breakthrough. It says this in 1 Kings 18, 38 and 39. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood. It consumed the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust. And just to make things even better, it licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. They said it twice. They had revelation of who God is. And we can have some powerful church services where you get a revelation of the power of God. But unless you have the rain of the Holy Spirit in your life, you're going to be in drought. You've got to know God for yourself. You've got to have a relationship with Him. You've got to have the rain of the Holy Spirit falling in your life. And I'm here to pray tonight. I'm here to preach tonight that we need the rain of the Holy Spirit like never before. Some of us for too long, yes, we've been satisfied with just knowing who God is and knowing what God does. But we need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit on our lives. Clap your hands to the Lord tonight. Come on, believe that. Hallelujah, receive that. I thank God for a revelation of who God is. But all the revelation in the world, all the revelation in the world doesn't mean much if you're dying in a drought. Oh, the revelation in the world didn't matter for Israel because the people were dying from not having enough rain because the land was in drought. The fire was not the desired result. The fire was not the promise from God. It was part of the breakthrough, but there was more to come because Israel needed rain. The land was depressed. The economy was depressed. The people of God were depressed. The beast and the livestock and the working animals were suffering and many of them would die. The wealth and prosperity of Israel would be affected. Without rain, there would be no inheritance. Listen carefully. Without rain, there would be no inheritance to leave the children. They needed the rain, not just for their present state, but for future generations. And so the fire from heaven came down and consumed the sacrifice. It was a guarantee. It was the down payment that the rain was coming. And Elijah didn't satisfy himself with revelation. He didn't satisfy himself with fire. No. Elijah said, I've seen the fire. I've got the revelation. I've seen people get revelation. But he said, I think I can hear the abundance of rain. Because revelation without rain is futile. And Elijah said, he proclaimed to all the people, he said, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. He said, I hear the sound. I can hear the rain coming. He says, I don't see it, but I know it's close because I can hear it. I can hear the rain. And Elijah, what did he do? He went to the top of Mount Carmel. He put his head between his knees and he began to pray. And Elijah saw that the nation of Israel was in need of that life-giving rain. And my prayer tonight, as I prepared for tonight, I pray, Lord God, that you would reign in this place tonight. Let your spirit fall in this place afresh on every heart, oh God. Saturate us again, oh God. Help us not to be stiff and starchy Christians, oh God. Just satisfied in knowing you and knowing the things that you can do and having a revelation, oh God. But we are dry and we are hungry for more of you, God. We're thirsty. We've got to be thirsty. We've got to have an attitude that says, God, I want more of you. I want more of you. And you say, that's a greedy attitude to have, Pastor. No, don't be satisfied. God says, I want to pour out more. If you seek me, you shall find me. If you draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto you. Bring your empty vessels and I'll keep pouring the oil in. More and more and more. We need rain. And it came to pass, the musicians could come. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41. It came to pass at the seventh time. Everybody say seven times. How many times did they march around Jericho? Some of us, we give up after the first time. I prayed. Pastor, I prayed about that. I say, go again. Pray again. Pray. And the servant went there, he looked out over the ocean, he said, go and check. And he looked out of the ocean, he said, I can't see anything. The servant said, go again. And he went out there and he said, no, I still can't see anything. Third time he says, go again. The servant says, I can't see anything. Some of us would have given up by then. The fourth time he says, go again. Servant comes back and says, I still can't see anything. The fifth time he says, servant, go back and have another look. I can hear the sound of an abundance of rain. I got faith that the same God that answers by fire is the same God that's going to bring our breakthrough in this drought. The sixth time he says, go again. And he says, I still can't see anything. Elijah had faith. He could hear something in the spirit realm. And on the seventh time the servant come back, he said, I can see something. I can see something. It's a cloud the size of a man's hand. Just a small cloud. The breakthrough was not in the fire, but the breakthrough was coming because the rain was coming. And as Pentecostals, as Bible-believing Christians, we've got to get to the point where we're not just satisfied with just having a revelation. Because revelation without rain is futile. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there arises the little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up. Okay, here it is. It's coming. Go up and say unto Ahab, get your chariot and get thee down that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and the wind, and there was a great rain. Simple message tonight. So simple. Revelation, just to know about God. Even if you have some miraculous revelation of who God is, it's not enough if our hearts are dry from not enough rain in our hearts. And some of us, we've been walking with God a long time. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Because we need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit on our lives. That time when we can stand in church again, like we were newborn, born again believers with our hands raised and feeling the presence of God and the tears flowing down our face. That's where we got to get back to. Back to our first love. Back to our prayer life when we want to get on our knees and cry out to God. Back to that time when we would seek His face, when we couldn't wait to be in the house of God, when we weren't looking at our watch and say, when did I go home and watch TV again? But we have a hunger for God. Revelation without rain is futile. And so there are those among us that still look to the sky and we say, oh, there's nothing, Pastor. There's nothing for me. The tongue and interpretation came. Oh, there's nothing for me. There's nothing for me, God. There's nothing for me. I want to tell you, go again. Go again. Go again. Don't give up. Don't just go one time. Just go again, because I can hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Let's stand in this place tonight. I pray that there's a hunger in this place. I've preached. Now it's your time to respond to God. Young people, children, we all need a fresh touch of God. That's what's going to keep us. That's what's going to bring our life back to life and the living.